Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. This is a really interesting one because Big Al is truly learning something from doing the research on this particular topic. I'm chatting with two friends of mine, Doris Orr and Christian Lind. Doris and Christian, I'm going to talk more about them later in the segment. Very highly qualified people from a financial statement. Doris graduated from the University of Ontario, and she is a CA, CPA in Canada. And Christian is a graduate of the Sorbonne in France. Major profitable ventures to be gained here. I have Doris and Christian on the line with me right now, two friends. You guys, can you tell me a little bit about the ABCs of cryptocurrency? Either one.
Doris, do you want to take this or do you want me to take care of it?
I can take this.
I was on mute, so Christian, you go ahead.
Sure. So originally, the first really cryptocurrency came out from a white paper called a peer-to-peer electronic cash system. And that white paper described a much better way of handling electronic cash and then payments on the way it's working.
Uh-huh.
So the premise of cryptocurrency, it's taking not only currency, but taking it to the internet age. And by this, I mean cryptocurrency in the name. What they are, it's currency, so a form of payments, as well as cryptography. And by this, we mean data and cryptography. So the cryptography part is used to securing the blockchain, which is the technological backbone of cryptocurrency.
Right.
And what we call data, it's really every transaction is recorded in a distributed ledger, which is a giant spreadsheet across, let's say for Bitcoin, on the Bitcoin network, where every transaction is recorded. The cryptography helps secure the transaction and make sure there's no fraudulent access, and verifying that all the transactions are legitimate. A lot of the cool things about this process is there's a lot in common between the way cryptocurrency transactions work and the way real estate work, in the sense that everything is verified. Everything is, when it comes to emittance and remittance, everything that pretty much it's all working on keys, and no keys can be forged. It's just technically not feasible at this point. And every transaction is secured on the cryptography because the blockchain, every block contains information from the previous block and the next block to verify its authenticity on the chain. So it's just a better peer-to-peer network. This is really...
I got to ask you guys a question. Yeah. What keeps cryptocurrency honest? I mean...
In what sense?
A dollar bill, for example, is something that physically you can see, you can touch, you can smell, etc., etc. Cryptocurrency is a little bit different. So since you don't really put cryptocurrency in your wallet or in your bank account, how exactly does it work?
Well, I think the statement you're making, there's... it's not really representative on the reality of the state of money, even fiat currency, like, let's say the Canadian dollars, for example. So the M1 gross supply, which is the physical money, accounts for less than 5% of the amount of Canadian dollar in existence. Most of the Canadian dollar in existence are just numbers on the computers. There is no physical... there's no physical equivalent to it. There's only 5% of the Canadian dollars on the gross money supply that are in physical form as dollar bills or coins.
Right. I understand that. So basically, The thing that people really have to realize is that we really have evolved into a cashless society, whether people realize it or not. But the fact of the matter is, in a cashless society, I guess I would ask you guys, either you, Doris, or you, Christian, what exactly makes cryptocurrency advantageous, and why do you folks feel that companies will en masse be using it in the future?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that question, Al. I'm happy to take it. And Christian, feel free to add to what I say. So one of the great things that Christian referred to right at the beginning was the white paper about the peer-to-peer network. And the great thing about cryptocurrencies is there's a way to get the money from the sender
okay.
to the receiver mm-hmm. with nobody in the middle, with no central banks, no commercial banks, no waiting, no transition from one currency to another. It instantly will go from my account to your account, Al, or maybe vice versa would be even better, with that instantaneously, without having any intermediaries. And so it's a very inefficient, a very, very efficient system that addresses a lot of the current inefficiencies and a lot of the costs associated with the world before cryptocurrencies, or what Christian calls the fiat system. Christian, would you have something to add to that?
Yeah, I would say, especially right now, since the pandemic started, there's also, we need to take into account inflation. Right now, any money, any business who has savings in fiat or in traditional currency, when you have an inflation that's really close to 10%, your savings are really not following inflation. Where when you see cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Ethereum, when you see the deflation rate, and by this I do mean the growth of the value of the currency over time, it's really an asset. The really, especially Bitcoin, it's really an asset as in like gold with a much higher return.
So let me just jump in for a second. So when I, for example, was running my consulting firm, instead of, let's say that you, Christian, were a client of mine, okay? And so rather than have to go through the rigmarole, and this is in a very minor sense, the rigmarole of you writing a check, you sending a check, or you wiring a check, one of the two, to my company's bank account, in this case, using cryptocurrency, it's a fait accompli. It happens right away. Now, one thing I'd like to ask you guys about is, it's called the Creature from Jekyll Island. And you both know what the Creature from the Jekyll Island is. The Creature from Jekyll Island, as penned by G. Edward Griffith, the author, is the Federal Reserve Bank in the United States. The Federal Reserve Bank in the United States sets a lot of monetary policy, which in essence means that the value of the U.S. dollar, what have you, is really determined, not necessarily, I mean, theoretically, of course, by supply and demand, but in reality, it's really determined by the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Bank. Taking them out of the equation would make a lot of people very, very happy. What are your comments on that? Either one.
I am a big fan of Ron Paul.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Federal Reserve is never going to be on the side of the retail investors. They're always going to be on the side of protecting their buddies and big hedge funds and big banks. Retail investor and, you know, the mom and pop shop, the little businesses, will never get any backing from them. So you're pretty much, when they decide what's the interest rate, then raising or changing the interest rate or the debt ceiling, your savings are being devalued just by the Federal Reserve doing this. And you have no, I mean, you've got no sovereignty. You've got right. no way of fighting this back.
You know, I have to wonder, and I'm saying this not necessarily in jest, but it's a legitimate question, and that is, the Federal Reserve Bank really, really controls, oftentimes, in my opinion, to the detriment of the American economy and the world's economy because of what the Federal Reserve does in its own best interest. Now, they would deny that they do anything in their own best interest, but G. Edward Griffith, who has been on the program before, actually would say, you know what, that's not true. You mentioned Ron Paul, Christian. Ron's a really good buddy of mine, and I have to tell you, he feels very, very strongly that the Federal Reserve Bank is something that really could be either spruced up, polished up, cleaned up, or something that we totally don't need. Now, the one thing that concerns me about our current monetary policy is that it is totally without any basis whatsoever. When our currency was based on an asset called gold, it had true value. Today, the total debt of the United States, which is in the scope of billions of dollars, has absolutely no value other than psychological, because people know that if they don't respect the fact that the United States has that debt, that the economy of the world, not just the United States, but the economy of the world would simply collapse. And that's why I believe there is a huge, huge value in the concept of cryptocurrency. Any comments on that, either Doris or Christian?
Sure, I'll take that one now. And sorry, Christian, you want to say something first?
No, please go ahead.
Yeah. So I guess when I'm thinking about all of this, you know, we have when we look globally, and your comment is quite right, Al, that, you know, each of the countries are more integrated in many ways to other countries than perhaps in decades or centuries ago. So there's always the domino effect of the, you know, the impact of one country, the action of one country impacting another country. A comment that Christian made a while ago is one that I would like to reinforce here, because I think this sort of underpins this whole discussion, and that is what we call quantitative easing. And now you just made the comment that, you know, the US dollar, Canadian dollar, is no longer backed by the gold standard. And so with quantitative easing, with more and more dollars being printed by the money machine, mm-hmm. the denominator continues to get bigger and bigger. And therefore, the amount that we own in that currency, is the fraction becomes smaller and smaller, and the value of the money that we had is continually becoming less. And that's where, you know, when Christian and I and our other partner, Chris White, are looking at what we're doing in DeFi strategies, or we call ourselves DeFi-A, we're really looking to work with companies so that they can get a good understanding about the current monetary situation, both in their own country and globally, and recognizing that each one of us can be learning, becoming informed about another system that may be one that's going to become stronger and stronger over time, that's going to help each one of us individually gain a bit more self-sovereignty and be strong in our own situation. Christian, were you going to add to that?
Yeah, there's a great quote from Alan Greenspan, the former chair of the Federal Reserve, who used to say, in the absence of the gold standard, there's no way of protecting saving through confiscation through inflation. And this is exactly it.
Well,
Christian, that was such a good quote. Can you repeat it and say it a bit slower? That was so great.
In the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation.
That's a very interesting point.
And that,
go ahead.
That way of saving, of protecting savings, is called Bitcoin.
Yep. No, I would agree with that 1,000%. Okay, been talking with Christian and Doris, and I want to say one thing. Doris is a CA, graduated from the University of Ontario. And Christian, I'm very intrigued also with your intellect. I've met Doris a number of times in person, pretty impressive woman intellectually. And I also want to say you are the first individual Christian who I have met in my life who is a graduate of the Sorbonne. I mean, that is a fantastically interesting and qualified intellectual institution. We're going to have these folks back on the show. We're going to have a total special? We're going to have a special here in a couple of weeks that will give an in-depth presentation of everything you could ever possibly want to know about cryptocurrencies. You guys out there, you're pretty active on the blog. I'd like you to do me a favor. If you have any questions whatsoever for these folks, please utilize the blog and I will forward the questions to them. Stick around. Big Al is going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, Tom, for the second half of the KE Report. You know, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed doing the first half today. Cryptocurrency is, in my opinion, very definitely the future currency of the world. No question about that. When we're talking about the future, let's talk a little bit about the future of the United States. As always, I have the co-host of this program, Jim McKinney, on the line with me right now. There are a lot of things going on in our society right now that I feel are incredibly negative. There is also a rumor out there, and I want to stress it's only a rumor, but the rumor is that at some point between the 25th of September and the end of the month, this is not substantiated, Joe Biden will no longer be the president of the United States. Jimmy, take over. Let's go and talk about what's going on in the country.
Yeah, so on that rumor, I'm surprised he actually has made it over 6 months. I think had Kamala Harris been more positive and actually accepted more publicly that his six-month time limit would have expired already, he would have been gone. It is amazing to see the doubling down on bad policy. Afghanistan is unbelievable example. Of course, what's happening with the vaccine mandates and the actual forcing all federal employees in the military to take the vaccine. And that's becoming a real problem. The Department of Defense is, there's a bunch of soldiers out there that just don't, they're young, they don't have the risk, and they don't really trust the system right now. And so they're
Jimmy, let me just jump in for a second. This is very relevant.
Yeah.
There are a number of people in an area, federal employees in an area relatively close to where you and I live, and they are giving up their jobs instead of taking the vaccine. Isn't that interesting?
It is, and it's, and again, you know, we've talked about this. You know, they're pushing the vaccine, but they're not pushing the treatments, and they're not actually supporting people that have already had COVID, you know, that have already T-cell immunity. And yeah, so you got to wonder, there's got to be financial interests involved, lobbyists. But as they double down on it, it's not like, unless they believe they have total control of the election system, people are not supporting this. And of course, one of the biggest problems that the Biden administration has been facing this week has been the border and what's happened with the Haitian refugees, massive numbers that are coming in, the lies, the lack of information, the neglectful information, partial information that the White House is providing. That, you know, I mean, 70% of the population, over 70%, want a secure border. And the fact that they're willing to continue down this road of attempting to move, I would say, more of their voters into regions to, you know, shape and change the demographics in the United States, I don't know how they think they're going to survive this. It's just, unless they have control of the voting system. And of course, that's questionable. Right now, you're seeing some initial results from the audit in Maricopa County. According to the latest reporting today, there's over 55,000 illegal votes. And this is only a partial partial report of the overall election corruption. But that's actually four times the number needed to change the election the other way for Trump. So we're going to see more of that as it comes out. And I tell you, there's, you know, the media complicity in supporting the Democratic policies. And that, it, I mean, it's just, this is unbelievable in American history and in world history. I just can't imagine that we can continue on this way much longer.
Well, I guess the only thing that I can say about that is I want to ask your opinion. I think it would be very, very difficult, almost impossible, to change the results of the last election. Almost impossible to change. Got an opinion on that, Jim?
Yeah, I think at this point it is kind of a really tough thing to do. It would take a lot of facts, a lot of support. It would take a real popular push back on the administration. And if you release these Arizona results, if Georgia does a forensic audit, which apparently they're now being somewhat forced to do because of corruption in their election, and of course if Pennsylvania moves forward with a election audit, those could change the results, and it's really uncharted waters of where we would be. So yeah, I mean, a lot of people are not comfortable with that type of pressure. Even the Republicans, actually, Republicans are probably the least comfortable with it, because that would be, in their mind, the senior Republican officials, and I've spoken to one within the last couple of weeks, actually a very senior member of the RNC, and they want to move on from that. And I think by moving on from that, they're making a tremendous mistake, because the foundations of our democracy, of our republic, are trust and faith in the system. And if there's not trust and faith in the system, then people won't vote. And if they don't vote, then the motivated and the corrupt will continue to have victory. And I believe, in my view, that's what some of the senior Democratic leadership want, to gain power and to alienate Republicans and people that are sick of the system. And it is disturbing to me. The Republican Party and most everybody should be demanding transparency and an open process to validate it. There's nothing wrong with validating something that if you're questioning its truth, and at that point there's no argument. But if you don't validate it, you cover it up, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it makes no sense whatsoever. And the problem is the Democrats, in my opinion, would be a lot better off to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that they actually did win the election. That would certainly restore faith in America. But I don't think we're going to see that happen. Let's talk about the border, Jim. Let's talk about the border. Secure borders are very, very important to me. Up in our neck of the woods, Jimmy, the border in Blaine, Washington, I would have to say, knowing a number of the personnel there, the border here is relatively secure. If you look out in the hinterlands in various directions from the physical border itself, it is right now teeming with officers looking for people attempting to sneak across. I see that every day when I drive over to Linden, Washington from here. So I'm pretty confident that we're okay, at least here. The problem is a lot of the personnel from our area is now being transferred down to the southern border, and this bothers a lot of my friends who happen to be Border Patrol people. Your comments on that, Jim? We got a minute.
Yeah, you know, it's quite funny that the border land crossings from Canada are still restricted, but the southern border apparently is wide open if you're a refugee and you can't, you know, it's insanity what's happening out there. And the White House is actually, you know, got that question yesterday, Jen Psaki, the White House communications officer. And she's like, you know, the border up in Canada, yeah, that's a land deal that you can still fly in. Well, what about the southern border? And no answers. And I think, like the election fraud, there is an agenda here. This is not by accident. Opening these borders, creating this pandemic, this crisis on the border, there's just something going on here that's very nefarious by senior leadership advisors that are using the puppet Biden.
Of course, it's a very nefarious action that's going on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, time for a quick commercial break. Going to be right back with Jim McKinney. Stick around.